The Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel Podcast, Episode 59. In the United States, one out of every 150 pieces of checked baggage is either lost or stolen. Carry-ons, people. Carry-ons. Hello, travel nerds, and welcome to the Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel Podcast, the show that'll help you travel more and spend less. I'm your host, Travis Sherry, and whether this is your first time listening or you've devoured the last 58 episodes like it's Haagen-Dazs chocolate peanut butter ice cream, I want to thank you for listening today and making us the number one rated travel podcast on iTunes. Right now, this is the fifth day, the last day in the first week of Podcast Gluttony. What that means is that we are recording and releasing an episode every weekday for the month of September, Monday through Friday, 22 episodes in all, instead of our usual once per week episode. If you like what we're doing, please let us know. Send us feedback, trav@extrapackofpeanuts.com. You can give us a review or a rating on iTunes, subscribe to iTunes. If you like what we're doing, we're going to continue doing it. So let us know if you like it. We've got a few different formats as well. Instead of just straight interviews, we're going to be doing a destinations episode where we dive in and tackle destination specific. We're also going to be doing top 10 lists, and we're going to be doing reader questions. And today is our very first reader question episode, and we are going to tackle the question that I get asked far and away. One of the most questions I get asked most often is about picking the right backpack for a trip. And because no one wants to hear me talk for 30 minutes straight, I brought on a co-host that you're going to be hearing a lot more from over this next month and on into the future. My buddy, the host of his own amazing podcast, Jason Moore from Zero to Travel Podcast and ZeroToTravel.com. Jason, what's up? Where are you at right now?
Dude, what is going on, man? I feel like I just saw you because I did. I was actually in Breckenridge last week, Breckenridge, Colorado, and your house sitting out there in this incredibly crazy house, which I'm sure you'll write some kind of epic post about so people can see it, right?
For sure. We are right now, me and Heather are in a 5-bedroom mansion in Breckenridge. We're going to be putting a post out about why we're here, how we're here. It's totally free. We're here for a month. We have a hot tub, beautiful look over the Rockies. Jason was here a couple days ago, but Jason, now you are not with us anymore, so we are not recording together.
I'm in your neck of the woods in Philly, which is the area I'm from too. And dude, you had to start with the Haagen-Dazs because it's before noon and now I'm already jonesing for some chocolate and peanut butter ice cream, man.
That's right. There's some still sitting in the fridge from when you were here a couple days ago. So unfortunately, I can't mail to you. It's not going to last that long in the mail. But Jace, I know you travel all the time as well. Obviously, you have a travel podcast and everything like that. And you're constantly getting asked about what backpack to use. I even had the esteemed Michael Hyatt, who I think you know as well from World Domination Summit, ask me, you know, New York Times bestseller, this super famous guy, really good guy, by the way, great speaker. Ask me, hey, you know, I'm going to Europe for a couple weeks. What should I bring? What luggage should I have? What backpack should I bring? And that's why we've decided to tackle this theme first. So it's going to be just one general question. What backpack should people get? What should they look into to choose the right backpack? So why don't we just get right into it, Jace? What is the first thing then that you would look for in a backpack?
Yeah, I mean, you and I are kind of on the same page. If at all possible, you and Heather want to do carry-on backpacks, right? So you don't have to check your bag. You don't have to get it stuck somewhere in the middle of, you know, some flight. And then you show up and you don't have any clothes. You don't have any of your toiletries. We've learned some of those lessons the hard way, I think. Even on my honeymoon, actually, Trav, our luggage got lost. We had to hold up our whole honeymoon for a day just because, you know, we couldn't bring carry-ons because we had suitcases and stuff like that. I was coming back from Norway. But I mean, you guys are down with the carry-on. I mean, I think that's the first thing is, you shoot for that, right? And it's going to be weather dependent. Don't you agree?
Yeah, we could go on a whole episode of why you should just bring on a carrier. We're not going to do that this episode. I have recorded one before if you want to listen to it with the founder of Tortuga Backpacks. What we'll talk about that later, about how to pack in just a carry-on. But I do agree, if you can, and a lot of people think they can't. Heather thought she couldn't at first. Even I couldn't at first, you know, before I started getting better at it. It's like this practice makes perfect idea. But Heather, you know, fashion blogger, loves fashion, has tons of clothes, loves to look good, loves to have an outfit for every occasion. She was like, there's no way I'm going to be able to do this. And we have whittled it down little by little by little to the necessities. And she still looks good and she still has great outfits, but she's able to pack in a carry-on. So if you can pack in just a carry-on, you know, and people say, I'm going away for 2 weeks, how can it be a carry-on? Well, pack for 1 week, do your laundry wherever you are, and that'll give you enough for the second week. So definitely, if you can, pack in a carry-on. We are going to give you some tips and tricks here. We're going to talk about carry-on backpacks. I will talk about a few that are bigger than carry-ons, and I will talk about wheeled luggage a little bit as well. So if you are listening, you think, well, I don't just want to do a carry-on, so why am I going to listen to this whole show? We're going to give you recommendations for all those types of things. But our first thing is, if you can, pack in a carry-on. And most carry-on backpacks, Jace, then, if you're looking at size, at numbers, when you go online and you see all these, you know, measurements and things like that, you're looking between 40 and 50 liters is going to be the inside capacity most of the time of a carry-on luggage, depending on its shape.
Yeah, it's a little confusing. You kind of, I don't know if you find this, but when you show up at the airport, you kind of hope, like, okay, I hope they don't pull the bag off of my back and actually stick it in that little metal thing that's sitting next to the check-in area, because I'm not sure if it's going to fit all the time. But so far, I have a 40-liter pack, and we're going to talk about some features, I guess, that we like in backpacks. But I haven't had anybody pull it off and actually do that. But I do have a couple tricks with carrying on a little extra stuff on the plane, and we can talk about that a little later.
Let's get into it right now, because I will say as well, a lot of times my backpack, it is carry-on size, the one that I use now, and the older one that I also use is a little too tall for carry-on. So if they ever pulled it, it might not fit because it's sometimes jammed too packed and, you know, the pockets are sticking out. But more or less, you're going to get away with it if you have something 40 to 50 liters. And usually if it is going to be carry-on size, they will specifically mention this is carry-on legitimate, you know, it fits the requirements, things like that. But give us some of your tips of carrying on some stuff, and then we'll get into the, you know, picking the right backpack and the features.
So as much as I like to be minimal, Trav, it's inevitable at times, even when you have a carry-on pack, if you buy some stuff, some souvenirs, whatever, you're going to end up a little overloaded. So there are a couple tricks that I use to get on the plane with an overloaded carry-on pack. One of those tricks involves using the straps on the outside of the pack. And a real important feature that I love in a pack are good, solid outside straps. And I really like the straps that come around the bottom of the pack, and they clip underneath, so it's almost like it's hidden. So what I'll do a lot of times is I'll take a pair of shoes and stick them in a plastic bag, and I'll just strap them underneath there where you would normally strap a tent or something like that. So that gives you a lot more space in the pack, and then you can strap some stuff on the outside and the sides too. Another thing I'll do is I like to do the, you know, what do they call those Russian doll things?
The nesting dolls.
Yeah, I do the nesting doll thing a little bit with a day pack. So, you know, these backpacks that we carry for traveling are a little bit more sturdy, but I do like to have like a real thin kind of day pack or thin type of bag to stuff in there as sort of a nesting doll, if you will.
I always bring my day pack with me, and we're going to talk about day packs as well, but they're just little small backpacks. They sometimes come with a backpack. Sometimes you can just get them as like a sling pack or something like that. But I actually just don't even put it in my backpack. I carry my day pack and my backpack, and then always tell them like my day pack is my computer bag. Like I put my computer in there, and you can get away with that as well.
Yeah, that's a great trick. And another thing that works really well, I don't know why it seems so sort of ghetto, but just like a grocery store plastic bag or a Target plastic bag. Have you tried that one?
Sometimes I've brought stuff in it. Food, usually, if we buy food and we want to bring it on the plane, yeah, we just have like a plastic bag. They're never going to tell you can't take that on in addition to your carry-on. I've never had anyone tell me that.
There are certain airlines, you know, you get a real cheap flight. Like when I flew down to Dallas recently for Podcast Movement, it was like $50 for a carry-on or something. Anything beyond just your one thing that had to be like just a personal item. So it's like, okay, well, let me just put some food in this plastic bag and like sort of hide some stuff underneath, and they'll never stop you with a plastic bag. So, I mean, I think the straps are a key thing to a backpack. And then, I don't know, I mean, do you want to get into kind of what you use the backpack for? when you're on the ground? Or
yeah, I'm going to talk about some of the features, I think, because for me, there's one important thing that I think a lot of people don't think about when they first get their first backpack, and that is a front-loading backpack versus a top-loading backpack. Now, if you're having a hard time visualizing what we're talking about, basically a top loading means, you know, if it's sitting on its bottom, you can only open the top and you could shove stuff in. And that's usually what people use for mountain climbing. That's what people actually typically think of as a backpack, right? Or a school book bag, something like that. That's top loading. You zipper up the top and you put everything in. Now a front loading is when you zipper, like you zipper the front of it and it opens up basically like a suitcase would. So you think of having a suitcase on your backpack and the part that's sticking, you know, facing away from you, actually the whole thing zippers up and you can open up. The reason I would always tell people to get front loading backpack, unless they are hiking and they need the long cylindrical ones, is because it's so much easier. If you get a top loading backpack, what you're going to have to do every time you need something is you're going to have to take everything out of the top to get to the bottom. With a front loading backpack, it opens like a suitcase. So you open up the whole front and you can get to anything that you want. So usually these front-loading backpacks are called like travel packs. That's kind of how they're being marketed now. That's kind of a new thing. So look for these travel packs. The ones that I recommend are all going to be these front-loading backpacks, whether it's the Tortuga backpack that I use or the Osprey backpack that I use. They're all front-loading backpacks. So that's a big mistake most people make when they get their first backpack is they get a top-loading and then they say like, this stinks. I have to pull everything out to get to my socks that are at the very bottom of my pack.
And it does stink. I want to hear what your first backpack was like because, you know, we've learned all this stuff now, but do you have like a story from, because I do.
I have no horror stories because I kind of got into the game a little late. I'll tell you that my very first pack was the Osprey Farpoint 70, the pack that I still use. And it was only about 5 years ago. Before that, I had never owned a backpack for backpacking. I had only had school book bags. And that was my very first backpacking trip only about 5 years ago. So I still have that bag. It's awesome. So I've only ever had two backpacks in my life and I still use both of them today. So no horror stories for me, but I'm sure you have some because you've been trekking around quite longer than I have.
Well, I just didn't know what to get the first time. So I understand where this reader question came from because it's definitely a common question and it's one of those things where you want to make the right decision. But also, I think a lot of times when you're just getting ready for a trip, especially if it's your first big trip, you're just like, oh, I need a backpack. Let me just grab a backpack. So this is why this is, I think, a great episode because there's so much to cover and there's a lot of little things that'll make your life easier on the road. But my first backpack was just that. I'm like, let me just get a huge backpack and travel around Europe because that's what you do. And so I got one. It was top loading, just like you said, the whole nightmare scenario. I had like a rubber rain jacket from Colombia and not Colombia, the country, but Colombia, the brand, which weighed probably as much as what my entire pack weighs now, you know, shoes, like crazy amounts of t-shirts. It was so loaded up, Trav, that I was almost getting laughed at in the hostel. And then I'd have to take everything out, just like you said, just to find one little thing. I can't even tell you how many hours I wasted doing that. So yes, I'm totally on the same page with you with this front-loading situation. So much better. And I've learned my lesson now.
Yeah, and another feature then. So front-loading, I think, is the most important. Another feature, and you kind of hit on this on the outside straps, is also getting comfortable straps that go across your chest and go across your hip. Because when you are carrying, even if it is just a carry-on size, you know, those can get pretty heavy. We're talking 20, 25 pounds if you really load them up, you know, via like electronics, a few pairs of shoes, stuff like that. You want to make sure it has a chest strap and a hip strap because I at first thought, oh, this looks so goofy when people have those things strapped, right? Like, just put it on your back and have it over your shoulders.
Yeah.
And then
it's
like,
not cool.
Know, yeah, right. 5 minutes into a walk, I'm like, oh my gosh, my shoulders hurt. And then you strap in, you're like, oh, this really actually does alleviate all the pressure and weight off of my shoulders. So make sure you have one that has a comfortable chest and hip strap. Some now have tons and tons of crazy padding. I don't think it has to have a ton of padding, but make sure it has that strap. Make sure the shoulder straps are padded to some extent as well. That's going to save you in the long run, especially because you're probably going to have this bag for 5 to 10 years or longer. You're going to be trekking around if you're backpacking and walking a lot of places. So make sure it's comfortable.
That's a good point. There was a time back in the day in school, I'm just going back to, I was thinking being cool or whatever, like you, it was cool to wear one shoulder. What a dumb thing that was, right?
Like, right. There's two straps for a reason.
Yeah. Why would you do that? I have no idea. But you have to look at the pack as a thing that you're going to be carrying around. Like, you're missing a train or you're late for something. You might be walking around the city for 3 or 4 hours before you can check into your place with your pack. It definitely has to be comfortable, and thick shoulder straps are key. And also, did you talk about the hip?
Yeah, straps, the hip belt is important too, I think.
Yeah, that's another thing. Mine has little outside pockets on it. Does yours have that? I don't know.
I have one of mine has a outside pocket actually on the hip strap where you're supposed to put like money or passport so that you can easily, you know, as you're buckled in, let's say, you can go and get your stuff.
Yeah, that's kind of a cool thing. I like to put a little digital camera there or something like that, so it's really easy access and it's right next to you and you know where your stuff is. Of course, I always wear a money belt usually when I'm overseas, which is that thing that, yeah.
Right,
that,
so talk about not cool, right? You're doing everything wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's talk about different pockets as well, because I think that's another feature of backpacks, and I think it can be overkill at some point. You know, there's backpacks that say, you know, we have 40 different inside pockets. For me, I don't like ones with crazy amounts of pockets, but I do like ones, and Heather also really likes these, that have just enough, you know? I like having a little bit of an exterior pocket, and my Tortuga backpack does have that, so I put my chargers kind of in the exterior outside pocket, but also a pocket or two inside, and a lot of times they have the mesh pockets, which are great, you know, kind of on the cover inside, so you can zip in some of your documents and things like that, or toiletries, so I like to compartmentalize a little bit. But overall, I don't like the ones that have so many different pockets that you feel like it's taking away and taking up space. I like to have like one big main compartment and then maybe 3 or 4 little pockets to put in electronics, toiletries, things like that. What's kind of your take on pockets?
Yeah, these are the two things I want to have in pockets when I'm looking at a pack. First is I have to have at least one of those outside pockets on the side that can hold a water bottle or something where I can get something to drink that's accessible. I do like to use these little platypus water bottles because they are super thin. They're just like plastic. And when there's no water in them, they're totally light. And you can just fold them up and stick them in the bottom. You'll even notice they're there. Another thing I mentioned a little bit in the beginning, you got to think about what else you're going to use the backpack for on the ground. So one thing I do is I'll empty out my backpack and leave my stuff in the hotel room or whatever, and I'll take it for like a longer hike, right? So I like to have the interior hydration pocket where you can keep like a water bladder or some kind of 2 or 3 liter. If it's going to be a longer hike, I love to hike, water bladder with the hose coming out so you can drink and hike and all that type of stuff. And you can use it as your hiking day pack. So those are two real important pockets for me. And then of course, I do like to have, I don't know if you'd call it a pocket, but if possible, like either another exterior pocket or like you said, something inside where there's a little separation where you can put small electronics or money or something like that. Just so when you dig in, you don't have to look through like a pile of 1,000 things, kind of like my junk drawer in my bedroom growing up. Did you have
right.
one of those?
Of course. Now it's just called my house. But
everybody has a good junk drawer.
Yeah. So I totally agree. I think the hydration pocket is key. I have one in my Osprey, and you know, they actually have it as a headphone pocket. Like that's a little symbol on it. It says headphones. And I always thought like, well, who really, like what, I'm going to keep my iPod in my backpack, but then have the headphones come out? Why wouldn't I put it in my pocket? But then I realized, okay, well, you can obviously float a little hydration thing through if you want it. And that's actually on my day pack, the 15 liter day pack that comes with it, which is perfect because that's usually what I'm going to have out if you're going on just a day hike or something like that. Speaking of like the inside pockets, one thing that I think is crucial, and a lot of backpacks are starting to do this, and I'm happy about that, is a laptop sleeve. Now, not everyone brings a laptop with them, but nowadays, so many people are bringing computers with them. For us, you know, being location-independent people, digital nomads, always traveling and always having to work from our computers, a laptop sleeve for me is crucial. Now, if you don't have one, like my Tortuga backpack does, and it's awesome because it actually has a zip up at the very top where you can just get to the laptop sleeve. So you can easily pull your laptop in and out without having to go through any other areas. But the Osprey does not have a separate laptop sleeve. And so what I've done with that is then I've used the day pack for my laptop just to keep it separate from everything else. And I've usually packed it in with a t-shirt or wrapped it or put it in a computer case or something like that, just to keep it separate because, you know, A, I don't want it to get bungled around, you know, this, that. That's another reason why I think, too, having a camera lens helpful. If you have valuables, electronics, stuff like that, you have it with you. So you're the one putting it up in the overhead bin. You know some guy who's getting paid $15 an hour and just throwing it around and stuff like that. So I always love having a laptop sleeve in my bag as well.
So we both have talked about bringing an extra day pack for some stuff that either you pull out or you fill up with stuff. Do you rock it on the front? So you have like your backpack on the back and like the day pack on the front situation? Or
Okay, so for my day pack, for the Osprey 4.70, which is the first bag I ever had, and it's one that I would recommend. It's a little too big for Karen. What it is, it's a 55-liter regular pack and a 15-liter day pack for 70 liters total. So it is a little, it's bigger than the normal carry-on size. Now, I have carried it on to almost every airplane, but they make one, and we'll get into this later, but an Osprey 4.55, which is 40 plus 15, that is carry-on size. So you have the options there. The day pack, I don't usually rock on the front and back unless it's just very, very heavy, and I'm going for a long, long time. It's really packed up. The Osprey, actually, you can zip the day pack onto the backpack. So then you're like a turtle, more or less. So yeah. I always thought it was cool when I got it. And then if it's too packed up, you literally like are falling backwards because you have both packs on your back. So sometimes I'll put it over my front, but usually I just carry my day pack over one shoulder and then the other backpack over two.
Yeah, that makes sense. I do get a little skittish about people digging into my backpack into things that I can't see, because I've actually seen it happen right in front of me when I was traveling with my ex. We were getting off the bus in Costa Rica. We had just arrived, and she was walking out of the bus, and some guy slipped in between us, and he started just opening the zipper, digging right into the back of her backpack. So if you don't have your stuff in front of you or your valuables, it can be gone just like that. And it happens. And it's not like I'm saying, oh, don't travel, it's dangerous everywhere, and you know, something's going to happen guaranteed. But you can't feel if somebody gets into the back of your backpack. So it is a good thing to have in the front your valuables and everything like that.
Right. I know some people put locks on their backpack. I have never done that. I wouldn't say it's a bad idea. I've never dealt with it. But you do want to make sure the backpack you're getting, and if you know, is somewhat secure. And that's one reason I don't like having so many outside pockets, like especially little outside pockets, because someone could easily like zip open that and grab something. Where if they're zipping open your huge pocket, well, everything's going to fall out. Like, it's going to be pretty noticeable. It's going to be a lot harder. So I like to keep the exterior pockets to a minimum and keep a lot of the pockets inside, you know, for safety reasons and things like that. We've talked about the day pack. I'm a big day pack fan. The company that I mentioned, Tortuga Backpacks, is making a day pack. Osprey has day packs. Jace, do you carry around a day pack with you usually? And if so, like, which one do you use? And what is your system for things with a day pack?
You're talking about the smaller day pack. That's the nesting doll.
Yes, a 15 liter or smaller one that you throw on and you can fit like a few shirts and if you want, or a pair of shoes and a water bottle, something like that.
So I had one from REI forever. And because REI is such a generous return policy, the zipper broke eventually. I returned it. They gave me another one. And now they don't make it anymore. It was the best because it had like sort of thin, it was just sturdy enough where I could use it as a day pack all day and be comfortable, but also thin enough where it wasn't overly padded. So I could just roll it up and stick it in the top of my backpack, bring it with me, and then just pull it out and use it whenever I got to the country or wherever I was going. And I haven't repurchased that yet because the zipper's broken, but I just found the one I want. It's the one. And we got those free backpacks at WDS. So I was like, well, I'll just use this for a while. But I do want to get this Montbel Pocketable Day Pack 15. I don't know if you've seen that. Montbel's a Japanese company, but they also have stores in the US and you can order them online. So the Montbel Pocketable Day Pack 15. It's almost identical to the REI bag I had in terms of flexibility, lightness, comfort, thinness, and sturdiness, if that makes sense. It's not overly thin. It's not like one of those things where you pull it out, it's just like a thin sheet of nylon.
Right.
It actually has some substance to it, but it's so packable. It's such a great pack. So I'm definitely going to get one of those at some point.
And that's a good point because if you have a backpack that you like already, and we're going through the features and you're like, well, this ticks all the boxes, or you have other things that you like that it ticks those boxes, you don't have to go buy a new backpack just to get a day pack. A lot of these companies sell day packs on their own. So if you hear us talking about a day pack and how much we love it, and I think it's almost essential to bring along, because if you have a 40 or 50 liter regular pack, or even a bigger one, like not a carry-on size, you can't lug that around on day trips. And you know, how often are you going out in the city? You just want something on your back so that you can put a few papers in, like we said, a water bottle, a change of clothes, whatever it is. So I think a day pack is almost 100% essential. If you're going to be traveling a lot, it just makes so much sense. So you can easily go and get one-off day packs from companies. So it doesn't have to be the same type of company. Now, sometimes when I travel, I have my Tortuga regular pack and my Osprey day pack. Sometimes it's both my Osprey packs, depending on what I want. The Mont Bell one, do you know what that runs, Jace?
I think it's just about $30.
Yeah, actually, that seems about right.
$29.
Yeah, usually they're about $29, $30, $40 if you're getting a really expensive one. And you brought up a good point as well. We talk about day packs, so I think we're both on board with day packs. You brought up the fact that REI has a generous return policy. One of the features that I like in a backpack is getting it from a company with a good reputation and a good warranty. There are tons of backpacks out there. There are a lot of backpacks you can buy. And this is when I was first looking to get backpacks, and I didn't know. I didn't make the mistake. I don't have the horror story, because I made sure I did a lot of research. And there was some online that looked really good, and they're like $50. And then the Osprey, I think, was running like $150 to $170. I thought, how much better can it be? Is that, why am I getting something that's more expensive? And there are so many cheaper backpacks out there. But if you're going to be lugging it around and you're going to have it for years, you want to make sure to spend some money on it. You want to get the features we've talked about, and you want to get a quality company. So for example, Osprey, Heather has the almost the same exact backpack as mine, except it's for a woman. It's called the Osprey Waypoint. It's a little heavier, a little more substantial than the Farpoint. And she has the little zipper things broke. Not the zipper, but the tags, you know, the things that you actually grab to zipper and unzipper.
Oh, yeah. The tabs.
The zipper.
Yeah,
the tabs.
Right.
There you go. The tabs. I've been thinking for like 10 days. I was like, the tabs. And, you know, we caught up Osprey, and they have a lifetime guarantee on their products. And this was the first time we had to use it in 5 years, and we've had it all over the world, so it's not like it broke right away. And we called them up and said, these tabs broke. And like, okay, what's your address? How can we send it to you? Boom, it arrived literally the next day. And then they sent us extra tabs. They're like, well, here, in case it breaks again, here's extra tabs.
Oh, that's so cool.
So, company with a good reputation, good warranty. Again, spend the money. If you are someone who's going to be traveling a lot, you're going to be using it all the time. So, for me, I love my Osprey. I also love my Tortuga backpack. Those are two companies I can definitely recommend without any hesitation.
Yeah, and whether you're looking at the 40 to 50 liter carry-on type of more sturdy backpack we've talked about, or the bigger type of backpack that you've kind of discussed too, like you said, I think it's important to go someplace, spend the extra money, and actually try it out and get sized up. You know, you can look online and everything like that, but we actually bought an Osprey backpack recently. My wife bought one, and she's got kind of like long legs and a short back, and she's about 5'2". Picking a backpack off of the internet isn't really gonna necessarily work for her body, because you need to take the time to look at how you can adjust the straps. So a lot of times you can adjust the back part where your back rests up against. You can slide that up and down. You can adjust it for comfort, but they'll only adjust so far. So you have to really get a backpack that fits your body type. And going with like an Osprey, like Travis recommended, and like my wife has, or going to an REI store, looking at what they have, having somebody there take some time with you. They'll load up like those heavy sandbags, put them in your backpack, like you walk around the store. If you take it out for a week and it doesn't work out, they'll actually let you return it. It's just, you know, a generous return policy or a generous guarantee, like you said, is huge. So huge, because you're going to be using this thing so much.
I completely agree. And you will get attached to your backpack. That's what I found. You know, in the beginning, I thought it's just a backpack. And now I you know, I'm such a champion for Osprey and for Tortuga, because I'm like, I've used this. It's been with me all over the world, and it's been great. So it's kind of like how some people get with cars or with anything. You really become, you know, associated with that brand, and you really like it. So get one in the beginning that's going to work for you. The last kind of feature that I want to talk about is just the materials that it's made out of.
Yeah.
You want to make sure you get one that's sturdy, that isn't going to rip, that isn't like this little light nylon, but also you want to make sure you're not getting one that's made out of like this super heavy canvas. And I know there's ones out there and like the military uses them and stuff like that. And they have these like super heavy canvas ones.
They look cool.
They look cool. And that's great if you're in the military and you know, you're in a war zone and you don't need it to rip, but most of us aren't doing that. So I would say get something that's in between. A lot of the travel packs are going to be like that. The Osprey is made of a little bit of a lighter material than the Tortuga, but both of them are made to be as light as possible and still withstand like the rigors of regular travel. So I would eschew the heavy canvas ones. I know people get those Go rucksacks that are really expensive and are supposed to be, I think they're like $350. There and the toughest made backpacks out there, but I don't think most people need them. So get a material that's in between, I would say.
Yeah, there's one little feature I want to mention on the larger backpacks. You'll usually find them on some of them, and that's all the lighter material that you're talking about. But my Gregory pack has this because I have a Gregory, which is a, you know, a bigger backpack for going into the outdoors or also going on a longer backpacking trip. But the bottom of the pack has like one of those rubber waterproof type of materials. And the rest of it's just made of regular backpack, light backpack material. So if I set it down somewhere, that part where I set it down is very sturdy, very hard to rip, and also water won't get into it and get all the stuff inside wet. That's a really cool little feature that I really love about that pack.
That's an awesome feature. I should mention one more thing too that I like is both these backpacks have it, my Tortuga and Osprey, is you have the shoulder straps, but then you can put them against the pack and roll out a covering that just zips over them. So then it turns it into a, you know, basically it's hiding your strap so that if it has to go, you know, on conveyor belts, you're putting it on buses. So you have the side handle so you can like carry it like a duffel. It basically turns it into a duffel bag and it's hiding your shoulder straps so that it's not going to be, you know, all over the place and getting caught on things and stuff like that. So that's another really cool feature that I just thought about. Okay, we've talked a lot about the features. We've talked about some of the backpacks. Let's give people the recommendations that we have, if we have specific ones, because I know a lot of people out there saying like, okay, it's cool you give us all these features, but what do you use and what do you recommend? So Jace, why don't you start us off?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to keep it real general here because of what I said before, which is it has to fit your body perfectly. It has to feel right for you. So going into REI, which is a store I love and I shop at probably too much, but the stuff lasts so long and their return policy is just amazing. If anything breaks, I mean, I had a tent from them that was an REI brand tent. It's the Half Dome Plus 2, not to get off of backpacks for a second, but just to give you an example of how generous they are. I had it for about 10 years. I mean, I camped all over the place with this, all over the States, to Patagonia for 3 months, like just everywhere. And eventually the zipper broke, which of course I've used it so much for a decade. I walked in there. I showed them the broken zipper. They gave me the brand new model of the tent for free. I mean,
that's awesome.
So awesome. So, you know, going into an REI store, getting the sandbags loaded into these packs, getting somebody to help work with you, fit the pack to your body. And also, it's important to show you how all the straps works. I know that sounds so stupid, but I had the backpack that I was carrying, the Gregory one, for quite a long time until I realized that there were straps right above my shoulders. There's these two little straps. And if I just pulled down on them, it would pull the whole backpack in towards my body.
Right.
And it felt so much better. So I know it sounds ridiculous, but there's all these straps and things hanging off and they're blowing in the wind. You're like, maybe I should cut these off or whatever. But they all do something. So really getting a full understanding of like how you can adjust it and obviously shift it around for when you're traveling so it's comfortable for you. So that's my recommendation. I know it's very general. I'm not saying get this specific pack, but going to an REI store or any store that has a generous return policy and will allow you to fit the pack to your body.
Yeah, great recommendations. Those straps up at the top, I didn't know what they were for a while either. And then I pulled them and you're like, oh, this feels so much more comfortable. The right. Recommendations, I've talked about these a little bit. The carry-on ones I will recommend. The Tortuga backpack, if you are an EPOP listener and you put in the code PEANUTS, Fred is a good friend of ours. He will actually give you 20% off your purchase. Now, it's a very small company. They're just starting out. I've used mine for the last 9 months. I love it. So they will be sold out at some point. But, you know, that is a great backpack. If they have them in stock, definitely go look for them, see if you like them. I would recommend them. The other one I would recommend, the Osprey 4.70 is the other one I have. It's a little bigger than Carrion size. It's 55 liter main pack, 15 liter day pack. I've gotten away with it as Carrion size on every airline, even Air Asia, even Ryanair, the ones that usually check.
55 liter?
It's 55 liter. It's a little, it's actually a little too tall. Like it's a little too high to fit in. Everything else fits in, but it's a little too tall. So if you want an Osprey that is Carrion size, the Osprey 4.55 is a little smaller version of that. That's 40 liters and a 15 liter day pack. That'll be Carrion size. They also have one without a day pack called the Osprey Porter, which is their biggest Carrion size one, but then you don't have the day pack. So that's 46 liters. So there's a lot of things. Now, I told you in the beginning, I was going to give you some recommendations for, you know, bigger than Carrion, because we know we're all inclusive in this show. So bigger than Carrion and also wheeled ones. I'm just going to stick with Osprey again because I love their products. They make all types of products. So they have bigger than Carrion's. They have the Osprey Waypoint. It goes, it's an 85. So that is a basically the biggest backpack you're going to get. I actually, there's a YouTube video of someone putting their kid inside of it and putting on.
Really?
So it's huge. I wouldn't recommend it, but if you need a big one, that's about as big as you're going to get. My wife has the Waypoint 65, so the smaller version. She loves it. And they have a lot of wheeled ones as well. They have one called the Ozone Convertibles. They have all different sizes. They have the Meridians. And what those are wheeled ones. And then you can put them on your back as well. They have straps. So if you're someone who's like, you know, I want to have the wheeled option, but I want to have the straps, look at Osprey. I can't say enough good things about all their product lines because they have so many options. So if you're like, Trav, I'm not going to do a carry-on, I want a wheeled one, go to Osprey, the Meridian series, the Ozone series. You could take your pick. They have them all listed out there.
Yeah, their packs are super impressive and high quality. Like, we looked through a bunch of them when my wife just bought one in Telluride recently. They're so, so great. I have to ask you a question.
Go for it.
What is the weirdest thing that we would find in Travis's backpack?
The weirdest thing? Well, the one thing that I always keep in my backpack, actually now there's two. One is a thing that plugs into an outlet and like gives you like a power strip, more or less. So it gives you four outlets for one because you never know when you're going to need. The other thing I always have in there is a travel towel. It's not really weird, but it stays in my backpack all the time because I don't use a travel towel at home and I never want to forget it when I'm on the road. So it could smell a little weird because there are times where I forget to take it out of my backpack and wash it when I get home. So that would be the weirdest smelling thing in my backpack.
You're the
sure.
hardest working man in the business. You got to have a towel to wipe off all that sweat.
I guess so. What about you, Jace? Anything weird that people would find in your backpack?
Oh, gosh. You're going to turn it around on me.
I'll let you think for a little bit because why don't we recap just the features that we told people. So, you know, we'll hit them really quick. We've talked about the carry-on and the size. If you can do carry-on, do it. If not, make sure you know the liters of your backpack, stuff like that. Front-loading backpack, essential. We've talked about having a day pack. We think that's really imperative to have. You can buy one separately if you want. Comfortable straps. Jace, you love the outside straps for attaching little extra stuff. You know, make sure you have a chest and a hip strap on it. Different pockets, especially the inside pockets for kind of compartmentalizing and keeping valuable stuff. If you can get a pocket on your hip strap, that's great for being able to pull your passport out and show it when you're in line, stuff like that. Laptop sleeve, we talked about. You know, company with a good reputation, good return policy, and the materials it's made out of. Anything else that I missed?
No, man. I think you covered it. We covered a lot today.
You love the hydration thing, right?
The hydration thing, yeah. But we could talk about back. This could be a 9-hour episode, really.
Right. Fortunately for you guys, we're going to end it, fairly soon. But those are the options. Jace, did you think of something weird that's in your backpack?
Yeah, I'll tell you. It's probably a banana. Because there's always that stray banana that you forget about because you just grabbed it from the hostel or the breakfast room in the hotel or from the grocery store or whatever, and somehow it ended up in the bottom of your pack, and then it got rotten, and then the stuff got everywhere, and you're just like, oh no, not the banana again. Tell me you've done that.
I have not done it. A banana might be better than a pint of Haagen-Dazs ice cream getting stuck in your backpack.
That's true.
So there you guys go. Those are our recommendations. Ospreys, we love. Tortugas, if you use the code peanuts, you can get 20% off. Love them as well. You can't go wrong with either of those. If you do want to check out sizes, go to REI, like Jay said, and kind of load it up and feel what it feels like. You've heard our opinions. Hopefully this helps you figure out what type of pack you'll need for your next trip. But we want to hear your opinions and suggestions on what people should be looking out for, because the more information, the better, right? Knowledge is is power. So when you're trying to pick out the right bag, give us recommendations on specific bags you've used as well, because there are so many out there, you know, or ones that you've used that you're like, don't get this, because that's almost as important for people picking out bags. You can leave a comment on the show notes. You can get there by heading to extrapackofpeanuts.com/pickapack. So easy to remember, pick a pack. extrapackofpeanuts.com, pick a pack. That'd be really, really helpful if you could leave us a comment on those show notes. Let us know if we're wrong, if we're right, and what you recommend. Guys, thanks so much for listening today. Thanks so much for the support, especially for the support over Podcast Gluttony. You have 17 more episodes in the month of September. Jason will be coming back on for some of them. So if you love what we're doing, if you love the shows that we're doing, let us know. Leave us a review on iTunes. Of course, you can email me at trav@extrapackofpeanuts.com. Today's review comes from Wellsters, Jace. Again, really cool names. I always wonder, where do these names come from on iTunes reviews? So Wellsters, this is your review. He says, I was a little late to the party with the EPOP podcast, but have since listened to every episode. Trav does a great job with his questions and including some of his own travel experiences along with the guest stories. It's one of my favorite hours every week, and I'd say that has changed my way of thinking. I have a corporate job and I want to travel more now, so I've actively started pursuing some of the ideas mentioned over the lifespan of his podcast. Last little piece, I'm going to cut him short a little bit because he just goes on about how great I am. No one needs to hear that. He just says, overall, I've listened to every show and many of them multiple times. That's where all those downloads are coming from. Thank you, Wellsters. He says, thank you for all your hard work, Travis.
He's going to love this gluttony, this podcast gluttony.
I was going to say, Wellsters, it's your lucky day, right? You wish for more podcasts. Now you have more than just 1 hour a week. You're going to have close to 5 best hours a week. So thank you, Wellsters. Jace, thanks for coming on. And to everyone out there who's tuned in today, thank you so much for the support. Until tomorrow, happy free travels.